We're opening up our last session on the book of Ruth, and we're in chapter 4. So I know we've covered some of this before, but I want to look at in chapter 4 what I've called the significance of the shoe, or you may have it sandal in the AV, the significance of the shoe. So I'm just going to read just a few verses of chapter 4 as they're relevant, from verse 1. Through to chapter 4, 1 to 11. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the near kinsman of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came and sat down. And it took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the near kinsman, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there's no one but you to redeem it, and I'm next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." And then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance." And the near kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging, to confirm anything one man took off his sandal, gave it to the other, and this was an attestation in Israel. Therefore the near kinsman said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself." So he took off his sandal. Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I bought all this that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion and Mahlon's, from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem." This is switched off. I don't understand that. Perhaps I've done all that I've got here. It's funny, I touched that right hand when I shouldn't have done. Trying to record this. It says switch on the phone button on the right side for 5 seconds, which I've done.
What's the other one?
That's funny. And I should.
That would be too helpful.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, if you could bring that to record, please. That's what he's got here. And
well, that's power off, so you don't want to get.
Yeah.
Recording select to take control. It's still going.
Yeah. I try.
That's now been recording for 3 minutes and 12 seconds.
Oh, fine. Oh, good.
I don't know why the screen goes off.
Does it?
Yeah. It's still rolling.
Right. Thanks a lot. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much, Justin.
Still rolling.
That's great. Fine. Okay. Thank you very much.
Roger that.
Well, so we're looking at the significance of the shoe. Now, might say, well, look, this is something of a Jewish background in the Old Testament. What's it got to do with us as Christians? That's a good question. But you see, if Boaz hadn't taken on all the responsibility, both of the inheritance and buying it from Naomi, and of the two sons and their work, and Elimelech too, if he hadn't done this, when you think of the genealogy leading up to Jesus, God would have had to work a different way. Oh, Jesus would have come, of course, but this is the way the Lord was working. So it is significant, the significance of the shoe. Now, the whole point of the shoe, I want you to go back to Genesis 13, where with our shoes on, obviously we walk. That's obvious. So go back to Genesis 13, and then Deuteronomy after that. Genesis 13, please, if you will. And this is where the Lord gave instructions to Abraham. As he was giving Abraham up the whole land of Israel as it would become, and he called Abraham to walk the land. Now that was huge. The perimeter of the land is bigger than France. It must have taken him ages. Well, look in chapter 13, verse 17. This is the Lord's instruction to Abraham. "Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Well, of course he did, with his shoes on, obviously. So the shoe is significant, it relates to inheritance and property. Abraham had to walk the land. God gave it to him, but he had to go and possess it and inherit it. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, please. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 24. This was instructions of the Lord through Moses to the people as they would enter the land of Canaan, which of them, of course, would become Israel. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 24. Every place in which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, right up in the north, from the river Euphrates, over in Iraq, even to the Western Sea, Mediterranean, shall be your territory. They had to go and possess the land. They had to win it by battles, didn't they, for the land of Israel. But they had to win it, walk it, and go through it. So in other words, the loose shoe or sandal, whatever you like to call it, symbolized the fact that there was a nearer kinsman than Boaz. And Boaz was an upright man, man of integrity, and he said, I can't do it. There's one nearer than me. He has the right to take over all the land from Naomi and purchase it, and also to marry Ruth, to raise up children on the Levirate marriage principles, again in the Old Testament, to raise up children, as it were, for his, well, Ruth's deceased husband, Mahlon. Well, you can see that what happened here was that he says, I can't do it. Now, whether he couldn't afford to buy it, whether he's already married, we don't know. We don't know the reasons. But he said, no, I can't do it. So the nearer kinsman was unwilling or wasn't able to, for some reason or other, to take possession of the property, buy it, and also to marry Ruth. Now look in chapter 4 of Ruth, look at 5 and 6 again. Verses 5 and 6. Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you had to purchase it, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, because she would have had land from her husband's. The Moabitess, the wife of the dead, Mahlon, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance. So, in if like that, the children would in fact be raising it up for dead husband. And the near kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. Well, for whatever reason, we don't know. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself. I cannot redeem it. Now, you can see the reply. Where the responsibility was transferred from this nearer kinsman to the near kinsman, second in line, which was, of course, Boaz, verses 7 and 8. Now, this was the custom in the former times in Israel concerning the redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. In this case, it was property, money, farm, whatever it was, and inheritance. Yes, please do that. Yes, Val. Yes, the only children will be raised up for the dead husband, Mahlon, really. Levirate marriage arrangements, yes. So this man, as you can see in verse 7, took off his sandal and gave it to the other, gave it to Boaz. This was an attestation in Israel. The near kinsman said, Boaz, verse 8, you buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. So that symbolized a transfer of responsibility to take the inheritance by rightful inheritance, the right thing to do, take off the sandal, transfer the responsibility, and at the same time would be to marry Ruth's family for a dead husband. So he took off the sandal, gave it to the other person. Now look at verses 9 to 11. Boaz said to the elders, they wanted witnesses, you see. You are witnesses this day that I bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was children of Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are my witnesses to this day. And of course, you can see the people said there, the elders, we are witnesses. That was the situation there. Now, you can see at the beginning of the chapter, in verse 3, that there were 10 men of the elders of the city. There had to be 10 to form what is called a minyan. So the Jewish people could not indeed build and form a synagogue for their way of worship under Judaism until there were 10 men, a minyan. So here's 10 men who are witnesses. And therefore, that was going forward legally. So Boaz now had the land, and he bought it, and also Ruth to be his wife. Now, in a wonderful way, I'm transferring this to the New Testament. you and I have a glorious inheritance, a down payment promised right now. It is yours. So would you go into the New Testament? But first of all, go to a psalm. Go into Ephesians 1 in a moment. Go to a psalm, Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And look at verse 6. Psalm 16, verse 6. This was true for Boaz and for Ruth and, of course, for Naomi, because she would be the grandmother of the son that was born and would take care of him. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Now, Boaz could certainly say that, and in Christ so can you and I. Then move on to Ephesians chapter 1 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1. And see what is there for you and I. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at two verses, verse 11 and verse 18. Ephesians 1, verse 11. He speaks about, at the end of verse 10, to get it in context, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven and on the earth, in him, in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. Of his own will to save us. The counsel of his own will. Predestined. And we have obtained an inheritance being in Christ. Our inheritance is heaven. Our inheritance is the riches of his grace. Our inheritance is the millennium responsibilities. What an inheritance all that will be. Go down to verse 18. This is part of Paul's prayer that they might have spiritual wisdom. And he, well, let's read verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, Christian growth. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, Lord, open our eyes more, that you may know what is the hope of his calling of you and I, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Wow. Well, you can expand that as much as you meditate it through. Exceeding greatness, in verse 19, of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power when he raised Christ from the dead. You have a glorious inheritance. It's rich, riches of grace, riches of glory, his inheritance. And it's his inheritance in us, because he's purchased us by his blood.
Thank you.
We are purchased possession. Wonderful. That's how secure you are. So back to Ruth again. And if you look at the beginning of the verses of this chapter, in verses 1 and 2, there's something very interesting. Five times you can see the instructions for the people to sit down. That's significant. Look at it. Boaz sat down, verse 1. And he said to the near kinsman, come aside, friend, sit down. He came aside and sat down, 3. He took the 10 men and said to them, sit down here, 4. So they sat down. What's the significance of that? Exactly. When he finished purchasing us in redemption, to be his bride, of course, as well as his redeemed ones, he returned to heaven and he sat down at the Father's side. Go to Hebrews 1, but before that, go to Mark's Gospel. Mark 16, the very last verses. Mark 16. No, impossible, no. Mark 16 and verse 19. Almost the last verse. Mark 16 and verse 19. This is the ascension of the Lord Jesus, of course. So after the Lord had spoken to his disciples, that is, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. That's the highest place of all authority. No higher place than the sitting at the right hand of the Father, is there? You'll find this illustrated very richly in Hebrews. Hebrews 1. If you'd like to turn to Hebrews 1 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 3. Verses 1 to 3 are a tremendous introduction to this wonderful letter. You see in verse 2, in these last days the Father spoke to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. It's his, by right. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, image of the Father, and the express image of his person, just like the Father, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, no one else to do it, by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Under the Hebrews, you would mention God's name. There you are. Wonderful, isn't it? So in that sense of sitting down, it's a finished work. As I mentioned, I think, last week, that the priests, although they're taking the sacrificial offerings, they never had time to sit down. They never finished their work. They kept going on and on and on. Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's the seat of authority.
So why in churches do they stand up above the bed?
Here you are. Boy, he's the only one who has a right to sit down, I think. Yes, that's right. So in all this, the sitting down marked the completion of a finished...
It's put away.
Put them away, blotted them out, to remembered, thought of no more. As I said, cloud, wonderful. Thank you. So he rested from all the work that he came to do to redeem us. He said on the cross, it is finished. I've done it all. Nothing else left to do now. And he rose from the dead, returned to his Father. Wonderful. In other words, I've accomplished all I came to achieve. And then he returned to the Father and sat down, work accomplished. Nothing else left to do.
Hallelujah. Father, the word Father.
Yes, that's right. By the Father's side. Yeah. Now, it's interesting here. I mentioned I do this week. That there are four Greek words which have a specific, detailed, graphic illustration of our redemption. Four Greek words, and it's precious. I'll give them to you. First one is called lutro, L-U-T-R-O-O, L-U-T-R-O-O. It means to set free or being in the state of free. In other words, the idea is that, as we see in Romans, that we are in the slave market of sin. It grips us, the self, before we were saved, it gripped us. So we're in the slave market of sin. That's how God sees us. We're now slaves to righteousness. So we've been set free from slavery by a ransom price. That's why Jesus used the word ransom, was to buy and set free at a price.
To buy back.
Yeah, to buy back. It's the price to redeem us, which is the precious blood of Christ. It's in 1 Peter 1:18, we're bought with a price. So that's the first word. The second word is a bit longer, peripoio. I'll spell that if you're writing it down, peripoio. P-E-R-I-P-O-I-E-O. P-E-R-I-P-O-I-E-O, peripoio. It means to redeem or to purchase. Now go to Acts 20, 28. Of all books, it's in the book of Acts. Not in the letters so much. To begin with, but it's in Acts 20. Go to Acts 20. It's very interesting, this one. Acts 20 and verse 28. Acts 20 and verse 28. And this is obviously what Paul is writing. And he says in verse 28 of Acts 20, he's talking to the Ephesian elders, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, which is continued on into 1 Peter 1:18. He purchased the church, the true redeemed ones, the true church, by the sacrifice of himself, by the purchase with his own blood. So the emphasis here is the act of buying in order to gain possession. You buy and make it your own. You go into a shop, you buy something, it's yours. Same principle. So it's yours by right of purchased possession. We belong to Christ. He will never let us go. Hallelujah. That's how secure you are. So we become his, and in a sense become the Lord's personal property. You are mine. I am yours, but you are mine. He is mine and I am his, says the hymn, as you know. That's the second one. The third one, a bit easier to pronounce and write, agorazo. A-G-O-R-A-Z-O, agorazo. A-G-O-R-A-Z-O, agorazo.
Thank you.
It's split into two words. Agora is the Greek for a slave market. And agorazo means to set free from the slave market, the same word, being set free from the slave market by someone paying a ransom price, which Jesus did. Now, the prophet Hosea is very useful here. Go back to Hosea from Acts, if you will. Hosea is after Daniel. Hosea chapter 3. I think I mentioned before that Hosea is a wonderful It's almost like a gospel of the Old Testament. Hosea, he had an immoral wife. They had family. But she goes away and plays a prostitute, and her whole life is ruined completely. But Hosea loved his wife so much, he goes to the slave market and he buys her back at half price. It wasn't worth more. That's chapter 3. Let's look at it. Chapter 3. Read the first 3 verses together. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover, prostitute, and committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, because that's what Israel was doing, worshipping idols, that's spiritual adultery. Who looked to other gods and so on. Verse 2, so I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver. Jesus was betrayed with 30. She was only worth half price, and one half home as a barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. I'm going to restore it to be my wife, in other words. And you shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. Thus I will also be towards you. In other words, I will be your husband. You once again will be my wife. I bought you back. You're ruined, but I love you. I want you back. Wonderful gospel story, of course. Mm-hmm. And so I go around so. Now, there's some interesting references. If you go to the book of Revelation, please. It's good to look around the scriptures and link things up. Revelation. Mm-hmm. And we want chapter 1 and then chapter 5. Chapter 1, first. Chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. This is John being instructed. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. That's for the millennium. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here it is, you see. He loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hosea loved his wife, Gomer, and won her back by right of purchase at a half price.